This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
So, you know, it's an all-nighter because I'm in there in the office with Charlie Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing war.
Yeah.
It's a war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a war of punching and guns.
Yeah.
It's a war of paper filing, isn't it?
It is in a way. Mm-hmm. And if Charlie's involved, then you know that also gams are going to be involved as well.
Oh, yes.
The guy is obsessed with the female gams.
He...
I do declare.
Yeah. He's a gam
addict. Those gams
are
having some kind of effect on me.
Yeah. Those gams appear to extend all the way from the hip down past the buttock into the
gams
shoe.
Gonna end?
So is the end of the gams coming anytime soon, or am I gonna absolutely pass out? So anyway, we filed the papers and we won the war.
Oh.
Yes.
And what?
Insane, wasn't it?
What was kind of the prize of that?
I think we must have invaded Iraq or something.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry that we call showbiz. And it's so true, isn't it? That it is showbiz.
Sorry, what's true?
That it is showbiz.
The name, the title of the show is true.
And it is us putting on a show and making money.
And it's for cash.
Yes. And the hallways, and it is an industry as well.
Mm. And this room, if you are facing the building,
mm-hmm.
we're in the back.
Yeah.
You know?
James Adomian.
James.
It's kind of a postmodern power office to be in the back with no windows.
Oh,
yeah.
It would be too obvious, and I would say even baby boomerish, to mm-hmm. have the one that faces the window.
The corner window.
Yeah. I still do the thing where I take meetings in here, and when I have to do a big think about something, I'll stand up and I'll kind of fold my hands behind my back and I'll walk over to the partition here and I look out at the view, which is usually just Engineer Jordan, sometimes Chef Kevin.
But it's just something lesser than you to stare at.
Yes.
And mm-hmm.
they look like ants.
Yeah.
I don't have to do
from
that
ruminate.
Here. Because yeah. I'm always practicing my putting. I'm knocking it down the carpet into an open water glass on its side. Mm-hmm. And then I'll turn and I'll say, tell me your name again to the person who I've invited to my office for a meeting.
Now, James, you have been here.
It's true.
Before, and you are doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And you never have done this podcast.
I never. And we've obviously talked about it for years.
For years, James.
For several seasons, we talked about it.
Yes.
We've been hungry for it, and the fans have,
season 13.
Yeah. Finally, I'm satiating the great yearning that was inside me this whole time, because I was like, when we started the show, I said, we've got to have James.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we hang out at the Soho House and everything.
Yeah,
we're always in there for the lunch.
Mm-hmm. And we rappel off.
It's so interesting. It's so interesting when your professional life finally sort of opens up in, you know, and shows part of what your offstage personal life is like.
Yeah. For me, they're one and the same. When I do hang out with people, it is for work. When I have like social chats.
Yes.
It is. I am casting
it's all content
in my head. Yeah. It is all content.
Which is more authentic. I think people look down on that by saying, oh, it should be separate. You should be one person at home with your family and friends and another in your business space. And I go, well, I'm just me all the time, which is my family and friends are dollar signs to me. and I am trying to get them into my bank account somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
So like a...
Is that relatable like AF to you?
Like a... Totally. Yeah, it's relatable. It's relatable as F.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a Porky Pig cartoon where somebody stares at him and they can just see a turkey or whatever.
Yeah.
But you just see dollar signs.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
I'm on board with that.
Why don't they just picture him as like a pig, like a roast pig?
I might be confusing two different
No, you're right. Cartoons. It's like they like the cartoons.
When
they
people see Porky Pig and turn him into a turkey, it does feel like they're working harder than they need to.
But James,
there's a step there in the writing that could easily be.
Yeah, yeah. It is already pig, so.
But is that what makes it so genius in these cartoons that stick with us? Would I even remember if it had made him a pig?
And they can't make those anymore.
It's so sad what happened to Daffy Duck.
Mm-hmm.
That is fucked up.
It was such a great career, and then he was killed like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and killed again afterwards, which is so his disrespectful. Reputation. Well, yes, that it's like...
It's like a second death.
Let the man rest.
Yeah, his ripcord didn't pull. This was, of course, in, I think, Roger Rabbit, where, aren't they?
That's Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse, yeah.
And I think maybe Daffy shows up, too, or maybe they didn't get him in the shot because he was just plummeting to Earth.
They're switching packs. They're switching parachutes.
Right.
You take this one.
James, we play roles, don't we, in our lives, and you play...
It's funny you say that.
I do characters.
I have played roles. You know, I would say, you know, everybody has like a mantra.
Yes.
And one that sticks with me is...
Not telling mine. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well,
you're not supposed
to. Not saying mine. You're supposed to be secret about it.
Okay, sure. So this is in an informal, you know, this is in a frank...
Oh, when you're just hanging out. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Anybody can know my mantra.
Yeah. This is... I don't tell people off mic.
Please.
But this is actually, I have this printed out and I had it framed. And it's sort of, you know, people have those motivational things you can get straight from the frame store with like different size letters. I have one of those with this Oscar Wilde quote where he said, a man's first duty is to pose.
Huh. And this is mantra.
And I have that. I had it framed in that kind of iconic frame font.
Oh, yes.
And I haven't put it up on the wall yet. It's still down. It's actually behind some other paintings that I haven't gotten to.
It's down.
It's on the floor, but it's okay. I'm waiting to put it up. I haven't decided if I'm staying.
So it sounds like you have a floor and a wall at home.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And that's the drip.
Not bad.
My mantra is the toys are back in town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And mine is feed my Frankenstein.
Is that from Frankenberry?
No.
Nothing. Let me try and explain this. Well, nothing really is from Frankenberry.
Oh, they ripped it off?
It is a cereal. And so words cannot be from the cereal Frankenberry.
There is something Frankenberry, acid reflux.
There's big quote pages on IMDb about all the ingredients and...
Frankenberry has an IMDb?
Yeah. Frankenberry has an IMDb.
Count Chocula.
The cereal does?
Well, I stand corrected.
And you go to memorable quotes and because it has those the ingredients?
Those properties are the source material for the short-lived dark reboot of Frankenberry.
The dark cereal universe.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, where they got Javier Bardem to play Frankenberry. Yeah, okay.
That's too much niacin.
Angelina Jolie was Bride of Frankenberry. Is that right? Briefly. Am I wrong?
I think she was.
If I'm wrong, tell me, Sean, you're wrong. And I will go home. If I'm wrong,
hasn't happened yet. I will say, though, hasn't happened yet.
She was the bride.
That offer is always there.
She was the Bride of Frankenberry. And in that they had the talent to like take a piece of cereal and like, huck it really hard in an arc, and it would kind of go through someone's. It would like slice through someone's mouth.
You could go around,
like a circle, and
instead of taking all the time to just step over a little bit,
which kills.
It hurts
if you've ever been
a big
standing
step like that.
If you've ever been standing, and I know not everyone at home has done this, but if you've been standing and there's something in between you and what you're looking at, and you try to move over.
Or trying to shoot a Frankenberry.
If you're trying to shoot a Frankenberry through them, and you move over,
mm-hmm.
That kills.
Be aware when you're standing in a parabolic line, mm-hmm. Adjacent to somebody else that might also be a valid target. Mm-hmm. Somebody, mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
with a grievance, a breakfast grievance.
What were we? We talked about the serial universe. James plays these roles.
I'll play a role. Just joking around.
No, go ahead.
Come over for dinner, and I make the best role. I serve the best roles.
Yeah, he'll serve you a role.
And then there's a third kind of role as well.
Yeah,
which is
Tootsie Roll.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, Tootsie Roll's better.
Yes, you know, I'm blessed. I've had a blessed career. And honestly, I love the challenging performances I've had a chance to bring to life.
Yeah. And I do want to talk about that, not now and not on this show.
But that kind of conversation sounds really good to me.
That's kind of the default sort of like, that's just what I say whenever I'm talking about my roles.
Here's who I want to talk to on this podcast. Jims only.
May I talk to Jims? Is Jims there? Let
me see if he's in there.
Can Jims come out and play?
Because we should announce.
Jims grounded.
Jims is grounded. Jims is grounded. That sounds like the Jims I know. Always into some sort of monkey business.
Let's talk about
Stonewall. I did Stonewall when I was at the Actors Studio.
You did the movie Stonewall.
Yes, and I filmed the final scene. It was cut out of the final. Roland Emmerich cut me out of the final edit of it.
I guess because he probably wanted you to like come to set and not just and like do like, your no, part no, no, no. at I the was actor like, studio.
I double booked, and I can't turn down Lipton.
Right, and that does. There's already cameras there
to commemorate the Stonewall riots in a way that erases. I can't. I was on board with doing the movie, but I'm like, you have to adapt to my schedule.
Right.
You're and this art's a collaboration. Yeah. Yes. You know, we're all supposed to be meeting each other where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's where you find the good stuff in the middle, in between. You know, I like my idea, but I love your idea. That's how I approach this stuff.
Can we make the big announcement, please? You have this podcast.
Oh, thank you.
That is coming, is going to be out by the time people are listening to this.
That's right.
And mm-hmm.
That's right.
And the name podcast is as follows, and we are saying the name, and it is this podcast. It's called?
You have a slight, I want to say this for,
you have long a slight, title.
That's the formal title in the Library of Congress. You have
a slight vocal fry.
This is all still part of it. You have there's like a it's not directly broadcast. This is there's a slight radio delay of several days or maybe a couple weeks between recording and when it comes out.
Yes.
Just to make sure that the censors can bleep out anything that needs to be.
Well, we're compressing the sound as well. We compress this one by
the high and the low end is being cut off. Yeah.
Yeah.
The podcast
is like Zoloft.
I think this is all still part of the I'm glad you guys recited it correctly. Mm. The podcast is called The Underculture with James Adomian.
Mm-hmm. And is that like a fungus?
Exactly. Exactly.
It can be, right?
Right.
Yes, it's meant to evoke that kind of Vincent Price mildew commercials from the 80s, which were obviously very influential on so many of us.
Oh, yes. That's why I got into creation.
Podcast can be a fungus.
Tilex brand tile cleaners. Kills mildew stains. Dead. I think those are canonical Vincent Price projects.
Oh yeah. It starts with that. That's his origin story.
Also, and Frank and Weenie. Which is also part of the new dark universe.
This is all on IMDb Pro. You don't see these mm-hmm. on regular civilian IMDb, mm-hmm. but you see it on IMDb mm-hmm. Pro, you know.
Yes. And he was Edward Scissorhands' dad. The thing that you want to announce, this podcast is just these characters, correct?
Well,
I
could even say it in a less, I could even say it in a less enticing way.
I would love to hear you try.
Yeah. It is, it's just, you know, it's just shuffling a few voices around.
Okay.
Is slapping a few inflections.
Mm-hmm. And you do
get an idea, you know, you just get in there, you know, see if it works, paper it, and then you just slap it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon, and just go and then collect it.
Goofs, is it?
It's my life's work.
Is it goofs and gaffs?
There are no goofs.
Okay.
I'm actually,
okay.
I don't believe as an artist in doing goofs, but gaffs, I'm.
So it's mostly
you
gaffs.
You will lay down a big gaff every once in a while.
Yes, domestic USA made in America.
Wow. Gaffs. Okay.
Gaff factory.
Wow. The people don't know when you talk about like shuffling voices around, you do this thing like before you do like a voice. We see you kind of pacing up and down the hallways here, and you do kind of do like a shimmy around.
I get in character for weeks. Mm-hmm. I do if I'm going to do Vincent Price or Bernie Sanders or whoever.
Right.
I'm like Daniel Day-Lewis as Abraham Lincoln or when he played the guy from Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. We had to take a break.
That character was called Cooper. I Will Find You. That's the name of the character.
We had to take a break you did, even just before you did that voice right now, we cut it out.
Daniel.
You had to take a really long time to
go watch
the movie.
The smoothness that you edited. You edited it in. Each time we do one of those, we have to pause and edit it back in.
Take a really long time for you to watch the whole movie.
I come back in here. It's good to see you guys again.
Thank you. I've had a lot of stuff happen to me in between that was bad, mm-hmm. but this is kind of like a safe place.
But
a bit
people
of a
don't
reset.
Necessarily know that part of
right.
my public-facing
sure.
persona. Because they
Or that part of Last of the Mohicans. They don't necessarily know it.
Go find you! Great to see you guys.
And we're back.
Again. Yeah. Okay. Wow. It just doesn't seem worth the really long time. It's funny. I just wish you would do it for.
What, you want to just. Do you want to do it on the fly? You want to just.
I guess I would rather, if it's going to be that short, I guess I would rather not do it at all.
Well, that's what I'm going to start to be doing on this new project.
Yes.
Because I'm tired. That's for this reason. I am tired of the preparation, the costumes, the makeup. I go into heavy makeup. Even for stuff that's just in an audio format, I go into makeup like Worf from Star Trek level makeup.
Yeah, it's a whole day.
I have to come in at 5 a.m. sometimes just to get in makeup for a podcast. And people on Earwolf haven't necessarily seen this side of it. And I was glad to have this opportunity to introduce this sort of some springboarding. I'm pivoting. You know, one of my favorite words that people say a lot in Hollywood is pivot.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually pivoting from that. We're pivoting from left. We're pivoting.
Yeah.
Time to pivot.
It's pivot time. Uh-huh. I think Obama said it in a speech and then everyone in Hollywood started saying it. We're actually pivoting.
Jeremy Pivot.
He pivoted. Pivoted to stand up.
Mm-hmm. We all do.
But people on Earwolf don't necessarily know that I have done a lot of these characters because there's so much preparation involved. I've kept it for other, other places where I have enough time.
Sure.
Black box theaters and stuff like that.
Yes. Mm. Love it.
So we're trying to develop a technique for me to be able to do it faster.
Okay.
On this new podcast. So obviously people have heard me as myself on Earwolf and
different show.
We've always been on a different show on the same network.
Yeah.
And we've always been through the wall. It's always a happy hello.
Hello. Yes.
We talked it was best for me to come on here and save an appearance on Hollywood Handbook
for
a big dismount.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm no longer going to be the James that's the James.
You are
with the voice.
Basically shedding your birth personality.
Aren't we all shedding our shells?
Well, every 7 years we have completely new cells.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You said that's unique to me?
You are doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm molting. I mean, shedding is fine.
If the question is everyone abandoning their original personality to exclusively do characters, I would say no. Most people are not doing that, but you are, I think we should celebrate this.
Look, I agree with you on that. I would just make, I mean, I agree mostly. I would say that everyone has the potential to do that, but sometimes a human life is cut short or people aren't fully actualized in a way that they
You're
realize.
You're talking about getting hit by trains?
Well,
We talk about that on this show. If you are at a stoplight and the train appears to be far enough away that you think you have time to get across the tracks, mm-hmm. please, James, just fucking wait. No, don't gun it.
Gun it.
No, don't gun it.
See, this is apparently the issue because we keep having to do these ads. They don't seem to be working.
I don't have a car. You know
even
this.
Worse, because a car in some instances will protect you with metal.
I work. I walk everywhere or I take public transit. So sometimes I've been in a train that was hesitating about crossing
a
different
train track. First of all, that's terrible for the environment. If you're out in open air all the time, do you know the toxins and emissions you're putting out? You're supposed to keep mm-hmm. that trapped inside
lifestyle.
A car. Then you mm-hmm. suck that car out and put it in like
it's
a
my
Ghostbusters
lifestyle.
Container.
Just like from, it's my lifestyle.
Just from like the human pits. Look, yeah. I make up for it by donating.
They stink.
I donate to automotive charities.
You're carbon neutral.
I'm carbon non-aggressive.
Have you been scooting around?
I do. And sometimes you come up on a bird or a lime or even a Lyft scooter mm-hmm. at the crossing. And mm-hmm. in those situations, I'm like, gun it. Because
so I do want to get something out there. I am becoming known as the Scooty Cutie around town.
Yes.
And people are yelling this at me from their cars. I just want, since you are...
You're the it boy.
Yes. And since you are scooting as well, I just want to let you... I didn't start this, but that title... is currently not available.
Mm-hmm. Scooty Cutie?
The Scooty Cutie.
The Scooty. The Scooty
yes.
Cutie.
The Scooty Cutie.
The Scooty Cutie.
Yes. So let's get back to...
I can respect that.
Do you want your own
title?
Your own name?
Yes.
Scooter title?
Scoot McNary, potentially?
Mm-hmm. Bird Boy.
You're only on Bird.
It sounds... Yeah, I haven't debuted that one mm-hmm. yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it sounds like
it could be the Bird Box.
It's good if they rhyme. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
the only thing that rhymes with bird is turd.
Yeah, it's the only word that you can't that you can use. And
you can't
I don't want
to do that.
You know, I don't call you the bird turd.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Are you going
bird.
Through the alphabet?
I'm trying.
The bird nerd.
I'm trying.
You don't want to be Scoot McNary? He was so good in all those movies.
Well, speaking of, he was in True Detective.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
very
Scoot
influenced,
Ackerman.
Of course.
Scoot Ackerman.
Scoot Ackerman would be a very good corner to stake out.
And take it from him and then charge a hefty price when he needs it.
Yes.
I wanted to say that we're so influenced by season one of True Detective, and we actually do think time is a flat circle, which is why our hello to you is also our goodbye. When
yes,
we see
so
you
well.
On
yes,
the show,
thank
we're
you.
Meeting James, but we're also getting rid of James. Who's mm-hmm. James? I want to meet the underfungus.
I want to pull that. If you don't mind, I want to pull that for the exhibit on the underculture that's going to go up at the Museum of Radio and Television.
Yes, I mind.
I thought that was a... are you really?
I mind you not doing that.
It's a public quote. It's under 15 words, I think.
Public quotes, yes.
Yeah, at this point, a lot of my quotes are public quotes, and I just have to start dealing with that. May I have a scooter name? By any chance.
Yeah, what would you like it to be?
Probably the Limerita.
Okay.
Limerita?
I think so, yeah.
You're the Limerita, which they sell in cans, in big cans
yeah.
sometimes. And I'll tell you what you have in common with
it's
it.
It's pre-mixed your lime juice and...
much too sweet.
A charge for your lime scooter.
It's true, I am too sweet. Yeah, so I'll be the Limerita. The Limerita and Scoot Ackerman come uh-huh. trucking down the
Look
street
out.
Here to meet up with the Scooty Cutie. Man, what a freaking afternoon.
We could go... I mean, we could go scoot off and... find some abandoned house.
Uh-huh.
And we could do like Hardy Boys adventures.
Not if it's on the top of a hill. Then we can't get up
we
there.
We would be limited actually sort of geographically to...
If it's at the bottom of a hill, look out.
Downhill yeah. adventures. And then we'd probably have to ditch the scooters and get a ride back up to
oh,
where we
yeah.
started.
But downhill adventures.
The adventure we'll have.
Sure.
And in the back of our mind the whole time we'll be thinking, God, that's going to be a pain in the ass when we get out of here. How are you going to get back up? Did you see if the others, if you can go around? I'm going to be thinking that.
Well, since we're saying goodbye to original Jim,
we're moving on to another chapter. Mm-hmm. We're turning a page. Yeah.
Do we want to sort of go back through some of the highlights of being Jim?
Yeah. Do you want to sort of?
You brought this.
Wow.
I just wanted a whole book.
I just wanted to turn the page.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But you also do have so many pages here of your accomplishments.
I do.
That now is the time to share because none of these characters know who you are. And so when the procedure is complete, the original Jim's will not exist.
That's true. There is going to be a procedure.
His secrets die with him.
Because Bernie will be saying, who is Jim's?
Mm-hmm. I guess this is a safe place to announce it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be having it's not a surgical procedure. It's a semi-surgical procedure. It's done through acupressure.
Yeah.
But it's going to be it's an acupressure psychic sort of tantric procedure that's going to I'm going to spend less of my waking time as my persona that people have known me as for so long.
And that's gonna
be taken over more by some of these characters.
Right.
And some of them range from being tolerated to being being very controversial.
Sure.
So, but I want to lean into that.
Not tolerated. Yeah.
None of them are beloved, but some of them are.
Some of them are really tolerated.
Really tolerated.
For extensive periods of time.
Yeah.
And others
and
are
requested.
Highly controversial.
And I would say some of them are studied. Some of these characters are studied. And I want to lean more into that. And in order to be able to do them in a rapid way, to be able to switch from one character to another, something had to give. And what that was my being, myself.
You got to shut off you because the problem is
the core of
you,
my existence.
You taking the journey to become these characters.
Yeah.
The bridge there is that you're starting as you. If you start as nothing, then you can instantly become
the
character.
It's faster. It's almost like it's just fine-tuning engineering like a Tesla automobile or something where you can, you know, switch gears faster. And as far as I know, that's the main technological leap that Elon Musk has made with Tesla is just being able to switch gears faster.
The gears change a little bit quicker.
I think that's what a Tesla is.
The Teslas
quicker than a bike.
Yes.
Not than a car. I just want people to be clear what you're
comparing. Well, what are you asking? You're asking too much.
No, you should be comparing it.
It's groundbreaking technology, but you're asking too much, I think, to expect it to compete with other cars.
Yes. And this is like we're getting into technology stuff, but in terms of the procedure, we do, it's like acupressure. People are like, what are these terms like mean, basically?
Acupressure?
It's like you are putting your brain in a panini machine. Right? I mean, like...
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Well, physically, literally, yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, you are. Because, well, and that's
it's
what...
It's repurposed.
In acupressure,
the panini machine is repurposed.
Your brain is known...
someone's yard sale.
Yes. In acupressure, I've studied a little bit of Eastern medicine. Your brain is known
from Boston and New York?
From... yes, exactly. From the East Coast. Really more Tallahassee... and Dover. But but your brain is what's known as your personality meridian. And putting that in a panini press and setting it to sort of a soft grill, the way you would sear a scallop perhaps in a panini press, is just the right amount that you don't do any permanent damage in terms of, like, you'll still be able to talk, walk, gaff. But
in many ways, I'll still have a lot of the personality ticks.
Some more.
One of the side effects could be irreversible physical ticks.
And tics.
How about funny ones? We hope.
Either way, I'm prepared. I think that the response to this is already. From what we've been announcing and slowly rolling out with our partners.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly positive to negative. And so we're confident that there will be a team that will be able to help smooth over some of those. Anything where there's a lag time, anything where there's.
I can just see in the other room there, people are really losing their shit.
They might be checking their phones and looking at something else.
Some people are. Yeah, some were looking at their phone, but some were losing it.
You guys have a gallery. There's a large gallery of observers that you have.
Yeah.
Are they now?
Focus group.
Mm-hmm.
Their focus group.
They got the dial. Focus group. Yeah, they have the dial, and they're just cranking it up, man. When you're saying some of your shit about the,
and you notice, and there's family members of the victims that come behind the two-way mirror just to look through
from the train.
Yes,
victims.
The victims of your podcast and its cruelties.
Yeah, and they'll just point at us and then just sort of move on. But there they are for the for the guys with the dial. You notice how I'll sometimes like take my arms and sort of press my pecs together a little bit. That gives the dial a little goose. You know what I mean?
The dial.
Yes.
The dial. It's focus group. So they have a dial.
Now that you have your own podcast,
if they what we're doing on the podcast, they'll turn that dial all the way to the right. And if they're not liking
they're able to shock you. Bless your heart for not having had to deal with this.
Nothing shocks me anymore. The secret to doing your own podcast is, of course, keeping it visual. Like Hayes said, squeezing your pecs together.
I've learned a lot from I've learned a lot from you guys from reading the descriptions of the episodes.
Yes, it can be very instructive.
I don't have time to listen.
It's all
and
in
I wouldn't want you to.
It's all schedule. In the description.
But I do. I read the descriptions, and that's just like the shorthand.
Yeah.
How I catch up with things.
Oh, sure.
And so I've learned a lot seeing how people in shorthand describe what you guys do on the show.
The guy who's winning at Jeopardy right now, James Holzhauer, was saying that.
I think Alex Trebek is really winning at Jeopardy.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a lot more impressive.
Almost no mean for Sean to not say that.
It was a lot more impressive than his run on the other game shows he used to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he's doing a better job at that because he didn't do those for very long.
What is the show now? We're just gonna spit on Trebek's resume. That's the fucking show. I'm sorry.
He was saying that you were.
That's
doing
not
that.
What I'm hosting.
It feels like you're trying to turn it back on him. But Jim's was.
Oh,
saying
I'm just giving all credit.
But you were acting like James was like the best guy to ever do Jeopardy, and he's saying that it's Alex Trebek.
I was complimenting James's study technique and saying that James told me through my TV screen that one of the ways he prepped for Jeopardy was to study in the children's section of the library because it's mostly just pictures and one sentence of the fact that you need to learn.
Huh.
And that you reading the descriptions of the episode and probably seeing a picture of us with our arm around someone or standing near someone who we barely know is maybe a better way to absorb the feeling of the show than listening to the fucking episodes.
Yeah. And I think that method of study is a great way to for anything. I think if we're going to take big evolutionary leaps as a human species, it's not going to be from knowing great depths about vast quantities of knowledge. It's going to be about knowing like almost like a match card game level of
memorized
fact.
Just like this like I know where all flash these card. Countries are in relation to
what's
each other.
What's your favorite podcast? Read the description and look at the picture.
I'm a big fan of the description of WTF.
It's a great description.
The description.
Fuckineers.
What the fuckineers?
My favorite is, of course, Doughboys. I love to admire how, especially in the picture, how Nick Weiger has developed a picture pose where he can do two thumbs up and that allows him to not touch anybody.
Does Nick Weiger not like touching people?
Based on the fact that he's developed this
just
pose,
himself.
Right? Because why else? I mean, the two thumbs up thing. Well, now he can't put his arm around anybody. He's got to do the two
and
thumbs
imagine
up.
Imagine how rude you would feel asking for one of those thumbs to go down just so you could have what? A squeeze?
I like to go ahead and hug people or do like transactions at a coffee shop with thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So everyone knows all the time that I'm being positive.
You will pay for food. With a thumbs up?
Yeah. And it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because if you slip at all, then suddenly the thumbs up has blended down into whatever finger mash you
have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you have
to. And that costs money.
To go through your pockets and stuff, it's a little bit of pawing.
Yeah.
You should, if you want to, you could try it sometime. It's actually, It actually helps with hand, well, thumb-eye coordination.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess it would help to basically wear your pants upside down, so then the money is already kind of falling out a little bit.
Well, I keep the money in the bandages that I'm using to hold my thumbs up.
Oh, you actually do it with, you use the help of like
athletic
tape wrap.
Yeah, yeah. I strap Ace bandage or whatever around my thumbs to lock them in that position. And then I'll keep a little cash in there and I'll sort of work it out with my mouth while the cashier waits.
And it's very positive. And people have to wait a little bit longer.
But yeah, but they're waiting in this super pleasant environment where everyone's being completely positive and double thumbs it.
They're being thumbs up at.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice that you'll have this sort of historical document of the stuff that you used to do, and we're just kind of getting it all on record.
I'm, yes,
before the character procedure,
mm-hmm. I am collecting it into a series of scrapbooks.
Mm.
I learned from Hugh Hefner. I heard that,
yeah.
and I read the description when he died. I just read the blurbs.
What?
Is
our obituary not basically
Hef's
our final
dead?
Podcast description?
It's like a retrospective coming up blurb.
Yeah.
But I looked at that, and it was one of the interesting things, actually probably the most interesting about him that I saw, was that he made scrapbooks for his whole life of memorable things that happened.
Really?
And so we're doing that. We're doing
okay,
that.
Are you sure? Are you possibly thinking of a magazine?
I
when you say that he made these scrapbooks, I wonder if you are getting confused that he was basically a guy who published a magazine.
Were the scrapbooks that you're talking
aware
about
of what
photographs and then
photographs,
little blurbs and
photographs,
writing?
Yeah, you take photographs, you lay them out with very detailed X-Acto knife.
Yes.
And you lay it out with, and you glue it down very flat and try to make sure there's no bubbles in the air or any, and then there's a very, very high resolution photocopying process.
Yeah.
That makes it, and then you can print it onto a very thin, paper
press. Yeah.
Yeah. Very thin
millions
sort
of copies,
crinkly paper. And then basically there's four pages that form a sheet and they're stapled in the middle and you fold them over. And that way your scrapbook can be distributed to anybody that wants to share the memories.
And the stuff that is happening to him, like you said, is mostly frankly nude gams.
Yeah.
Well, people who've been to his house, really.
Yeah.
It's just like company that he had over.
Right.
Which a lot of times is gams, some of Charlie Wilson's favorite gams.
Sometimes you want to remember a great ad that you saw in print.
And well, so Newport.
You
put that
in your scrap. Yeah, to remind you to buy
Newport
something.
You
want
to
remember the fun time you had with,
smoking menthol cigarettes on like a pier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or American Airlines. Or sometimes there would be like a cute little story you would read in like Reader's Digest or something about from some guy who's like, here, I'll tell you how it is.
Yeah,
Reader's and
Digest.
That
the,
you chuckle at.
Yeah,
yeah, and you would just sort of just save that memory in the scrapbook, and then you could sell it, you know, to anybody who wants to share the memories with you.
I do want to leave time for you to summarize your career.
Are we out of time?
So we can.
We're not out, but we're almost out of time for you to summarize your career, and we do want to get just a little bit more of it. So,
well, a lot of this will live online in the James Domian archives.
Oh, online archives.
Yeah, it's actually being curated by archive.org.
Oh, and the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, they're actually, unfortunately, I heard that they're in danger of like being bought and terminated. But until that happens, this will be a permanent archive that lives there.
Kevin, am I not giving you enough of a good picture? Well, that's not going to change. You're standing there with a camera until my hair.
I know this is unpleasant.
He whispered, "Your hair is kind of messy."
It's unpleasant for you guys to be going through this right now. But as a fan of the descriptions of the podcast, when you see these real moments in the room,
this to see the photos get taken, you got to be fanning out. Like
yeah, I really am. You see what it's like? Wow, I'm on the other side of this scrapbook.
That's how you get the And how were my photos? Everything's good.
It's from my helmet. Should I wear my helmet so I can be the Scooty Cutie? And you can just go ahead and start. Just like get into.
Just
we got to get this all on paper.
Just rip it.
Yeah, obviously there's my career has it's been storied.
Spin it out.
I've been on TV and I've done plays.
So that I wanted to ask about. How the heck did you do that?
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
To try to pull off at the same time to do so much of
so much plays
at the same time, play
mm-hmm.
and also a completely different media, switching gears and doing movies.
Talk movie. About play
and also TV, which is movies that
small
are less important and more poorly written, I guess.
Hey, pal, I think actually some of the best writing out there is on TV right now.
Mm-hmm. Never heard anybody say that
before.
You ever
see Ghosted? Go ahead and check the freaking credits on that one. A little episode called Lockdown might have been written by somebody you'd be interested in.
I do think that
episode 5, because they had to keep him in the room for the early ones.
Yes. Yes. People go, you're a high-ranking writer in there. Wouldn't you have gotten one of the first 2 or 3? No, they need me there at the beginning.
I think that Bar Rescue...
Too important to the room.
Bar Rescue ranks right up there with some of the greatest works of like Kubrick and Tarkovsky. I think it's high art.
Well, speaking of high art,
it's called Marriage Rescue.
Uh-oh. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's for, I guess, people that are married to
get yelled at by John Taffer.
Yeah. And so he's like,
maybe the secret to a happy marriage is a round ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he would offer them a lot.
Your bedroom needs more TVs.
Now,
thank you for editing that so smoothly. You really do have a helmet.
Yeah, it says nutcase on it, and don't even think of saying that I am a nutcase.
I wasn't going to.
Is that a skiing helmet?
No, it's not a skiing helmet, unless I'm going downhill.
It's an all-purpose. Hey,
anything's a skiing helmet if you ski in it.
Yeah.
They should have a lift that when we do
bird
scooter adventures downhill, there should be a lift that takes you back up.
There should be a city lift.
And then you choose your own adventures either way.
Or every even hill just should have a ski lift next to it.
It doesn't have to be one with like a, it doesn't have to be a chair lift. It can just be one of those ones where I hold on to the rope.
J lift?
Is that what it's called?
Or a T lift?
And kind of squeeze the scooter between my legs.
Yeah. And then you could even go shopping and have your grocery bags and stuff and then be like, hold on.
Yeah, I tie my groceries back to the rope and then just kind of hold on.
And to accomplish all that, a bunch of grocery bags, a scooter, getting on a lift with your thumbs up.
Yeah.
Either taped or, you know, through physical acuity.
How insane must the change in quality of life for skiers have been when they put chair lifts in everywhere? You know what I mean?
That's
probably where society peaked. Yeah, I just feel like that was maybe the most drastic quality of life increase for a group of humans.
Well, before
that has happened.
Before that, they were just walking.
In Norway,
yeah.
Skiing was like a terrible chore.
Yeah.
Because it must have sucked.
You would leave your skis down at the bottom of the hill, and then you would have to make new ones every time.
It's honestly like the equivalent of you doing impressions now, where you have
a great leap.
Yeah, where you have to like stop everything that you're doing and go do like this incredibly long process.
It's a multi-day commitment to then have what amounts to a minute of fun.
It probably had its origins in you know running to reach people. The same way that any entertainment does.
Yeah.
Wanting to reach people, wanting to take these stories that are our stories.
Yeah.
And take stories that we grew up with, take these stories, these narratives, these story arcs.
Like freaking Winnie the Pooh?
It honestly doesn't work, what I'm saying, with any specifics.
It's, there's no specific.
No,
not
it's
a single
just
specific.
It's the way that sort of I think great filmmakers and great television makers talk when they are trying to brag and yet also, you know, not.
Right. Because
that turns some people off. But I said, these are the stories of our lives. These are the stories. And it's just an honor to be able to share them.
Carry this tradition of stories.
And what you, that when you say it like that, what you leave out is the fact that you're making a lot of money from it.
Right.
That you're that you're treating people harshly to pull it off or right. whatever.
And you're not good at it.
Like, and also not good at it. Yeah, you know.
And the show you're making is
but
bad.
But when I think
if people don't like it, you can always right. blame the stories, blame the myths that you pulled right. it from.
When I think about episode 105 of Ghosted Lockdown, you know, for me, that was never about the money.
Yeah.
You know, that was at the absolute furthest from my mind was the money.
Now,
it was honoring the characters, Annie Carver, weapons specialist.
Now, when I hear an episode title Lockdown, my head goes to bottle episode trying to save a little budget on this one.
Okay. Yes and no. What's locking them down? A freed creature.
Okay.
Being the ghost.
The title's a bit of a misnomer. It was not ghosts specifically they were dealing with in most, or in fact, any of the episodes. But there was sort of a supernatural element, and you'll agree that ghosts are like that.
It would have been really nice if at the time there were like a cool phrase in the zeitgeist that was something like alien. Because then, imagine.
That would have done a lot for right? us. Yes. Or like funny X-Files'd. If that had been... Like you, somebody stopped texting you, and they go like, "Ah, yeah, friggin' jerk, just funny X-Files to me," and then that
would have been so easy.
Could have more easily transitioned into mm-hmm. what we were trying to do there.
Your name of your show, certainly is based on like a cool phrase.
Underculture was actually the last phrase that hadn't been taken up.
It's the last title
by a band or
wow.
a website.
Hmm.
There is another thing called the underculture.
Sure, but
and it's yeah, it's
who, you know.
Well, it's a restaurant in London.
Yeah, oh, so yeah. It's, yeah,
sure.
And what do they serve? Freaking mushrooms and fungus?
It's a fungus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have nice. You thought about what the last thing
they get bad marks. They get poor, rather poor marks.
Oh, no. John Taffer got to pop in over there. Yo, guys, come on. You do it.
Wait. Well, see, you tried to do it live just now.
That's why we don't do it that way.
You tried to do it live.
He didn't take
the time. You're making people sick. You hit on my wife. No. My wife came in here because I told her to flirt with you, uh-huh. and then you hit on my wife. You call this a bar? You're disgusting.
That took a while longer, but
it took a long time.
But arguably, fucking, yeah. no better.
It was a little better.
Thank you.
What is the last thing you're going to do?
The listener hears that. The listener hears that.
Dude.
Or the reader of the description.
You saying thank you, yeah. What's the last thing you're going to do as Jim's?
Thank you to that as well.
Yeah, what's Jim's big farewell? Viking funeral for Jim's personality?
Yeah, you know, they did that with Odorous Arungus from that great band.
Gwar.
Gwar. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I can't believe that I forgot Gwar and remembered Odorous Arungus.
It is pretty weird.
For most people, it's the other way around.
Most people, it's the guy from Gwar. They did a Viking funeral for his
personality
persona.
And body. Yes,
and I've always that would be so attractive to me. But to mm-hmm. get rid of my real person,
right,
and only become the shell, and only become a sleeker, faster operating version of these characters that I've shifted into so laboriously.
Yeah,
I think I always liked the aesthetic of the fire funeral that Darth Vader gets at the end of the Star Wars originals. And I want to do that, but it's my real physical body.
Him, it's you, like being
in lava, basically? Isn't that what kind of happens to him? He goes into the lava?
It's a standard wood pyre, funeral pyre.
Oh, okay.
Are you thinking of the Terminator? It's like an Ewok. Case?
Yeah, I think, well, he gives a thumbs up.
Ah,
I mean, that is what you would do. You would go down.
Yeah, you'd be thumbs upping as you're lowered into the lava pit.
They did. There, that was an alternate version where they lower Darth Vader into lava.
That he's just
or molten steel, I guess it is in Terminator.
And it's the thumbs up, Luke.
It's the thumbs up, but it's taped.
Yeah, you can tell. What's the last thing you're gonna say as James?
Well, I guess this is an interesting part because some of that is up to you guys.
Oh,
this is the big dismount.
Well, yeah, I know, but we don't have, we haven't been telling you what to say.
I'm always, I mean, I've always tried. Feel I don't take direction. I don't take direction unless I'm ostentatiously taking direction.
And how does that work when you are ostentatiously taking direction? What does that sound like?
It sounds like, oh, well, then if you know so much, you can tell me how to do it.
Right.
I think a lot of this is in your hands. I think that a lot of this is in the hands of the final edit.
We get to
of those magical creatures behind the glass.
Sure. They get to decide. They could pull you saying thank you, for example, like 5 minutes ago, and that could be the last thing that anyone ever hears you say.
And it's, I almost embrace this mystery.
Wow.
To me, as someone who's thought about these issues and these stories and these myths and these characters so much, I don't need the closure. I don't need an answer. For me, the journey is the journey.
Okay. And you don't want it to be something funny, like eat my shorts.
How could it be?
How could it be something funny like eat my shorts? When people ask me, like, why wasn't that last podcast episode you did funny?
How could it be?
I go, how could it be? Honestly, how could it be? What would have been making it funny? Certainly not something I'm doing.
Yeah, they shouldn't. I mean,
Hayes has a lot of other stuff going on.
You saw in the description. You saw in the description about what it was going to be.
Yeah, why don't you take a page out of James's book?
Yeah.
Read the description and scroll on.
It helps you to be able to talk about it. But yeah, I'm going to be at Underculture. We've got 6 weeks before that starts to fail and break down, I think.
Yeah. So by the time people are hearing this, it'll probably be 4 weeks until it fails.
Well, maybe even rounding right about rounding third base. Just coming, okay. Yeah.
And is there a way to get the old parts of your brain back, or like, have you thought about that?
It's a semi-permanent procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take massive levels of like therapeutic meditation.
Yeah, it's you can unpanini a sandwich.
Well, what happens is there's almost like a George Foreman grill where the fat runs out, except that's my individual. They're squeezing out of my ears and stuff will be like.
Right.
It'll be the parts of me that that people know as me, which to me, I think I've had a great run.
You know what? I think all you have to do is you take the part that dripped out, you pour it back on
your
brain. That's
flat. You slice the edges a little
bit.
And
you basically put it in you put it in vertically. You know how it's been kind of made flat? You just kind of stand it up and then you press it again. And then
to redo the shape.
Soak it a little bit first.
Yeah.
I am going to keep the runoff not in the freezer, because that might chemically change it, but just in the back of the refrigerator. And so maybe it'll congeal a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll be able to see like my glasses.
This is also like, a LASIK. LASIK procedure.
I'm hoping that it's like a cartoon, like when, for example, Orko gets dehydrated or whatever from the Gwar. He-Man cartoon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Orko was also in Gwar.
Yeah.
To make you remember that the character is still the character, there's whatever distinguishing thing, like the glasses and the eyes are still on the glass of whatever.
Can I offer you a life hack, please? Take the runoff and put it in the ice cube tray, and then it's flavoring your bloodies.
And each little Each little ice cube will have a mustache and glasses.
But they're still staying cold without putting like the warm runoff in there.
Ooh, you put some of that in a limerita?
And then somebody can have a little, you know, if you want a drink on the rocks, you can have a little bit of Jim's.
Thank you, Jim's.
I believe I'll have a Cazadores and Jim's.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.